Yes, as you indicated, as you know, we've got the seven of the OEMs in our auto industry, and it's a very important industry because they make up 7.5% of GDP. The auto industry employing 200,000 employees in that sector. As you know, all the major towns revolve around this industry. Uitenhage, Volkswagen is the biggest employer in PE. General Motors was the biggest employer in London. Mercedes-Benz and in Chuan it is Ford and BMW. So what happened is General Motors was not doing well in the South African market, but also globally. As I said, South Africans seems not to want to buy General Motors. So they have underinvested for a long time, and even for the incentive scheme, they never met the target of 50,000 units. And they closed down last year, and they sold. Fortunately, what has happened is last week, the minister went to PE, and Isuzu, the Japanese company, have reinvested now and bought the plant. And so they reopened the plant, so they are going to now become the OEM to produce both vans and cars. So they reopened the plant last week. The minister was there to launch. So we have another, in addition to Toyota, we now have Isuzu, the Japanese car manufacturer, taking over. So that, in a sense, shows the sustainability of our and the competitiveness of our auto industry, that we've been able to quickly bring in a new investor to replace General Motors. So that is why we want to continuously appeal for support for this industry.
Thank you for that brief briefing, Honourable Kacharya.
Thank you. May I just put from Mary Barra, the CEO and chairperson of General Motors, who said that we are committed to deploying capital to higher return initiatives that will enable us to lead our core business in the future of personal mobility. So, and the article continues to say, so in short, Barra is saying that the return on investment of operating in South Africa isn't high enough. That said, I'm enormously pleased that Isuzu is filling the gap. Thank you.
Honourable Manta. Supposedly, we are happy about this investment by Isuzu to South Africa and the Eastern Cape in particular, where there's a high rate of unemployment. But also, I would love the DG to speak on the crisis of steel, that its price is going up, and it's bad for our own because of imports. Can you shed light on that one?
Yeah. I think I'd like to schedule that as the major point at issue for the committee, and we have spent a lot of time in the past, and I think that the Honourable Mantashe is alerting us again to something. So perhaps, DG, we will you will return to us. We'll send an invitation to you just to get a further briefing on that. Thank you. Honourable Maxwell.
Thanks. And I'd also like to either hear from the Minister or the DG about these, you know, what I refer to as BE buyer options, which a lot of the automotive multinationals have been able to do, and how that squares up with local BEE requirements that are imposed on local big companies.
Right, you see there's another issue as well, so we'll back to all this in one letter, so you'll be able to address a few of them, and maybe a few others will come up as well during the course of the week. But let us move on to the adoption of the agenda. I don't see any additions to the agenda as such, although I'm going to ask the Portfolio Committee Secretaries to please ensure they bring minutes to the meeting. We haven't seen minutes for more than 4 weeks. apologies. We have two apologies, Party Caucus and Advocate Elvis, and Honorable Esterhazen is attending the Energy Committee meeting. Right. We're going to be having a presentation by Ned Black on the National Credit Amendment Bill, and here with us this morning, we've already heard the DG, Mr. Lionel October, Mr. Chris Carney, Sipa Mandla, the Acting CD, Chief Director CCRD, Ms. Marilee Bosch, Chief Operating Officer of the NCT, Ms. Norsa Manchigari, the National Credit Regulator, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Lasiba Mashapa, the Company Secretary, Ms. Tupang Mugabeni, Senior Legal Advisor, the NCR,
Sylvie Bonovita, she's going to see today.
And then we have Ms. Evelyn Masocha, Chief Director, CCRD. Those are the people in attendance from the DTI. And then, of course, we have members of Labour, Mr. Tony Ehrenreich, Kasatu, the Western Cape, Mr. Matthew Parks, Kasatu, Mr. Etienne Flock, SACTU, South African Clothing and Textiles Union, and Mr. Charles Wells. Mr. Wells? Right. Busa, Mr. Michael Lawrence. Ah, yes, thought I looked for you there. Thank you. Now, let's move on, members. We just want to have the adoption of the agenda proposed by someone quickly. Honourable William? No.
Chairperson, I just want some clarity. On the agenda, it says presentation by NEDLAC on the NCA bill. Now, we've got presentations from two different organisations. Are they each presenting to us, or what exactly is happening? So I just want some clarity on that. Thank you.
Honourable Williams, you know the NEDLAC, you know who its members are. And they are members of NEDLAC here with us today. Now they have a couple of caps, that's the issue. So they may not have been introduced as NEDLAC per se. But when they do come in, they will indicate that they are speaking to that. Is that not correct, especially with Busa? Yes, Mr. Okay, I think we're all on track. That presentation followed by a bit of a, you know, I really don't know what happens to staff when they do an agenda. You know, your mind, I mean, you'd think that you were suffering senility. Look at the 1505. This is permanently the problem, and I do not wish to speak about it again. I really don't want to see this nonsense. Waste our time with silly typos. Right. Presentation by NEDLAC on the MCA bill. Well, who will be starting? Yes, I think you should, Mr. Lawrence. It would seem that with a couple of program changes in Parliament, it has derailed a couple of minds of the presenters. Not sure what they're up to. Right, are you back on track? And may I ask you, Mr. Lawrence, does everyone know what's happening? Ma'am?
Chair, we're certainly aware of what's happening, and Sato will speak to, as I just described, how the construct of this will work, if that
is. So you've had a little discussion. Good. Okay. So there we are. And if you would just indicate to us, because Busa, we have new members here as well. Never forget that. Thank you. Okay. Now we've got three hands. There's yourself, Ms. Tierko.
Morning, sir. Can you please pick up the answer?
That weren't we when we were somewhat derailed. Honourable Williams, will you speak up? Still hold your hand up to propose adoption. And seconded by? Right, the Honourable Tierko. We've got some people's minds on track. Right, can we then move to yourself, Honourable Williams? And Mr. Williams, you see now that you're basically derailing me with all of your, I don't know, being derailed.
Chair, thank you. We appreciate the opportunity. So, Chair, some of the committee members may recall that I have presented in respect of a specific industry on this bill. With respect to NEDLAC, Chair, as the committee members I'm sure are aware, we are presenting on behalf of specifically the Trade and Industry Chamber. And just by way of background, and Chair, I know you will allow Labour, if need be, to give any correction as may be necessary. But there are two chambers at NEDLAC that have expressed an interest in having a task team on this bill. It is both the Trade and Industry Chamber, which has been more direct in its communication with the Portfolio Committee, and the Monetary Policy Committee. And by nature of both the constructs and titles, it would, I'm sure the committee members would understand why both those chambers were interested in having discussions on this bill. Business is represented at NEDLAC by BUSA, and so I am one of the business representatives. I'm the acting business convener for the Trade and Industry Chamber today. And Chair, we typically what would happen is that NEDLAC would in a normal bill, which has been constructed by government, would request that government department to bring that bill to NEDLAC so that the social partners in a particular committee could have discussions on such a bill. It does sometimes consume a little bit of time. We appreciate that because that's the nature of more complex and robust conversations. And what NEDLAC typically would then produce is a report for the Portfolio Committee, which in an ideal world would have ironed out a lot of the issues which had been resolved in that robust conversation, but would also, Chair, produce an indication of the areas of disagreement that exist between the social partners of government, labour, and business. We have not had opportunity to have formal discussions on this bill, and so the Trade and Industry Chamber has requested an opportunity to give comment to that. We had requested to the Portfolio Committee that this bill, which is a portfolio bill and is a little bit different in its process to what we normally deal with, we had requested that the bill come with all the comments as is typical to the chamber, but our chamber has not had opportunity. So these are going to be two separate presentations, one by the business component of the Trade and Industry Chamber and one by the labour component of the Trade and Industry Chamber. Chair, before I go on, I don't know if you want to deal with structural questions first before I deal with the business side. And I don't know if I'm misrepresenting my colleagues in labour, if Chair, with respect to them, and it's your decision, obviously, that they may want to comment on my overview as I've given it now. Are you comfortable that I continue, Chair?
I'll let you know when I'm uncomfortable.
Thank you, Chair. So, Chair, then, with respect specifically to the business component, as I've indicated, Chair, we are aware that a number of business sectors, including the specific business sector that I normally wear, no pun intended since I'm in clothing, have given presentations to this chamber. And so our concern, at the outset is in respect of the fact that the chamber has not seen fit to allow the trade industry chamber to address the National Credit Amendment Bill in its existing form. I'm not going to speak on behalf of any of the specifics of the business presentations that have gone to date, although I'm at the, as per any request of any committee member, I will make effort to respond to the best of my ability if there are specific questions. Chair, we support as business, as BUSA in particular, the opportunities for exhaustive engagement on legislation. We believe that that there are often opportunities for us to achieve far greater consensus than we are given credit for in some arenas when we try and look for consensus. And this particular bill, we believe, could have had a number of the more extreme positions taken by a number of the presenters to the portfolio chamber could actually have been addressed in a social dialogue environment. We had asked as far back as October 2017 that this take place, and we are in particular concerned in this environment that what has been lacking in the presentations to the portfolio committee may actually be the voice of small business and the voice of less well-resourced sectors, which don't always have opportunity to either engage at portfolio committee level for resource business. And so we're going to focus our particular energies, Chair, on what we believe could be helpful going forward. We are quite determined to support the socio-economic impact assessment that we know can come out. And Chair, by way of example, in our engagements with the Economic Development Department and the Minister there, and the process around the amendments to the Competitions Act, we've been given opportunity to engage quite robustly around the socio-economic impact assessment that was constructed within government, and we believe it just gives us, it's not just a requirement at national government, for national government departments, it's not just an opportunity for monitoring and evaluation to take place, but it also gives us, as the business sector within NEDLAC, the opportunity to robustly understand better the implications on the basis of research that has been, we believe, objectively determined, and it gives us an opportunity to engage a lot more dynamically. We truly are just huge fans of socio-economic impact assessments. It gives us clear understandings of cost benefits, winners and losers, and the trade-offs. And insofar as we within business, and often, Chair, it is true that even within business, we are competing and conflicting interests. And it does help even those competing and conflicting interests in an apex entity like business to better understand the roles and the responsibilities that they might have in the respect of new legislation that is being proposed. It is never the intention of BUSA and or of NEDLAC to veto the role of Parliament or to take over the role of Parliament. It has always and only been around giving what we hope is intelligent and social dialogue input to the process. We like the fact that results in inherent transparency, especially when we have actually participated in understanding the social and economic impact assessments. Chair, we also truly believe that we do have opportunity to propose to legislators the alternatives that might occur and innovative solutions and just minimize the potential for conflict and legislative challenges that can come to a process if it doesn't have social dialogue. And I don't want to oversell the role of NEDLAC. Chair, we as business understand that the Reserve Bank has made an offer to conduct a quantitative impact study. We are proposing and hoping that the Portfolio Committee engage with the Reserve Bank and that study feed into a broader socio-economic impact assessment process. And we are concerned, Chair, that there might be a little bit of a lack of knowledge base and research base that might have resulted in the bill in its current form coming with unintended consequences. Chair, we do believe that as organized business, we must address the matter of reckless credit. We are not in support of reckless credit insofar as there are any instances of reckless credit granting. We are strong supporters of the institutional mechanisms that need to deal with this matter. We are strong supporters that suspicion of reckless crediting needs to be given opportunity to be voiced. But Chair, it is not as if those existing businesses have factual information about reckless credit providing. We believe that is a matter for the NCR to investigate and adjudicate in its own way. But we do sometimes have concerns about capacity issues. We argue always that the NCR is maybe higher. It is maybe in need of increased funding, and we know there are problems with that in respect of budget issues nationally. Chair, it is our view that the current proposal and debt intervention are going to increase the cost of credit to those who are responsible users of credit and providers of credit. We are very concerned that we may run the risk of bringing in riskier players. And I think a number of the business sectors have spoken to the fact that we do have a problem in that there may not be credit granted to persons and communities that actually have need of credit. We do have concerns about increasing rates of interest. We are, of course, collectively, I'm sure, with all the committee members, keeping a very close eye on the impact of the budget speech tomorrow and those implications as well. Chair, it has been indicated by a number of business sectors and some other parties in presentation that there may be constitutional concerns around this particular bill. We are arguing that be tested ahead of time. And Chair, we do believe that could mitigate a number of issues that have been addressed. Chair, with respect of credit life insurance, our submission that accompanies this presentation, we have similar concerns around credit life insurance, and we are aware of the fact that there are issues around this, and we believe there needs to be an opportunity for further robust conversation around these processes as well. We are of the view, Chair, as I'm getting to the end of my presentation, the bill is open to challenge on the grounds that credit providers need not to have demonstrated intent in reckless lending. We do have some concerns around that. And we do actually think that both the CS and with the NEDLAC process would actually have addressed a number of the misunderstandings that might occur between the entities that have been engaging and presenting to the portfolio committee. And we've lost an opportunity here for actually giving the portfolio committee a chance to focus on the key areas of disagreement and understand some of the consensus issues. Chair, we've just touched on a very high level issue because again it's more about NEDLAC than BUSA per se. We are arguing the merits of NEDLAC. We remain very encouraged by the fact that the new president of the country in his previous role as the head of government business, was very supportive of NEDLAC processes, was very encouraging of NEDLAC processes, managed to achieve a number of wins in the face of serious concerns around social partners, serious conflicting concerns around social partners, and the national minimum wage comes to mind. That President Cyril Ramaphosa in his role as Deputy President was able to achieve what some of us think is a bit of a miracle of cooperation and consensus around the national minimum wage. We think that NEDLAC has an important role to play, and so we stand ready as business to offer support and expertise in a process that of social partner engagement as conducted by the board. Chair, we are not as close as NEDLAC as the business component of the NEDLAC Trade and Industry Chamber and even of the Monetary Portfolio Chamber to the Monetary Policy Portfolio Chamber to look at an opportunity for social dialogue on this bill. We believe it has a bit of a road to travel still, and we continue to offer our services as organized business to find ways to address the initial and overall intent of the bill. We do think its construct and some of its consequences, intended and unintended, may not satisfy what the overall intentions of the bill and the portfolio committee may be. And we thank you for the opportunity to present on behalf of business in NEDLAC. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Williams. You're quite right about the president, but these things are all relative. I think also in NEDLAC, they also have a slightly different approach, let me put it there. But there we are. Thank you very much for that concise presentation. And I think at this point we're now going to be having someone from COSATU. Would that be correct, Mr. Aaron Rush, Tony? Yeah.
Thank you very much, Comrade Chair. It is also a great pleasure to be here and have the opportunity to present our views on the National Credit Amendment Bill. I should just say that we speak as the Labour constituencies at NEDLAC, so it's not just the COSATU position, but endorsed by our colleagues from the rest of Labour. Chair, we do think that we have to, in the light of this being the first private portfolio bill that comes to NEDLAC and that comes on the matter of the credit amendment issue, that we find the most elegant and compliant way to manage it with NEDLAC. We concern that those parties who may have an interest in delaying it could use the fact that we're not following the process as an opportunity to challenge its validity and its compliance with the agreement. So we're not stuck to any specific format, but we would just ask that we find the best way to ensure that compliance is managed from all of our sides. And we'd ask that the NEDLAC Secretariat be reflective of the constituencies in that engagement with your good offices. Chair, we certainly share the view that we can't have a position where the National Credit Amendment Bill is delayed, because effectively a delay of the bill means that justice will be denied to people because that is delayed. We know that many sections of business make huge amounts of profits out of reckless lending and other similar practices, and we would not want to see that delay one moment longer. We're glad that the business constituency acknowledges that we have a new president, and the new president's cornerstone is the fact that we expect ethical conduct from leaders, but also ethical conduct from a society as a whole. And this bill no doubt responds to addressing what has been unethical conduct in many of the financial services and the way that it's provided to our people. We think it's polite to say unethical in many respects, that it's driven by pure greed and the desire to fleece our people and in that way undermine their interest and the national interest of South Africa. So we've got to find a way to respond to this more succinctly. We have made submissions to Parliament before on this, and my colleague Matthew from our parliamentary office here has made that submission, and he, for the purposes of the record today, will again just summarize our position to you, Chair. So with your permission, I'd like to hand over to you. Thank you.
Yes, I would appreciate it if we can just have the Sergeant maybe moving a little closer to us. There is a bench available here, and if we can ask you, Mr. Lawrence, to just move behind one. Right. Yes. Whoever's making the presentation would take the laptop. Is that right, Lawrence? No, I think the comrades can go ahead.
Okay, yes, good morning, Chair. Thanks for giving the slot. Good morning, members and comrades and colleagues. I think, Chair, as Tony said, we had made two submissions on this bill previously in the public hearing at the end of January, and the previous round in 2016, November, thereabout. So I don't really bore the committee too much with us rehashing opposition. But I think to say succinctly, Chair, look, we support the bill as Labour. First, it's a fantastic bill. It's going to provide badly needed debt relief for the poorest of the poor. And first, it's long overdue. I think, Chair, in terms of the actual content of the bill, we're very keen on it, in terms of the criteria for who qualifies, namely people who've lost their jobs, people
7,500 rand a month, and also look at households which are headed by women or by children or with salespersons. I think in the January submission we had raised some linguistic concerns about the criteria flowing, just to make sure they speak to each other. But I think that can be cleaned up in the wording. Chair, I think also in the bill we were quite strongly supportive of the empowering of the Minister of DPI to give debt relief to economic or geographic sectors if needs be, such as the mining sector. And then Chair, in terms of the relief provided, we were quite happy, Chair, with the options. An option being a suspension of 1 or 2 years while interest rates held in suspension, or the option of reviewing the interest rate or even expungement as well, especially for reckless lending. Chair, I think also we're quite keen upon the criminal sanctions for those reckless lenders. We already have loan sharks who are fleecing people and they need to be punished. Chair, I think we have made proposals before in the two previous submissions around looking at how to deal with people who lose their homes or vehicles or lose their farms when they miss out on the payments. But Chair, I think quickly, I don't want to go too much into our contest submission because we've done it before and I don't want to bore members too much. I think Chair, just to touch upon what Tony is saying around the NEDEC process, we do hear that this is a social economic bill. The NEDEC Act requires social economic legislation to have gone through it. And also that the Mother Act, the original Act, did go by NEDEC. So we also don't want to have unintended consequences undermining NEDEC. So we're happy to do an NEDEC process, but I think our proposal of Labour is to say it should be a very tight process. It shouldn't be a 2.5 year or 6 month process. I think we can comfortably manage it within a tight 1 to 3 month time frame, whilst doing justice to the concerns of any parties. I think, Chair, whilst we're saying this is that we're very mindful that next year's election year, the term of this Parliament comes to an end, and this bill, if it's not passed by that time, will fall off the table and have to be started from scratch. So we're very keen to get the right balance, respecting the NEDEC, but also not losing the bill's passage. We hope to see this bill being passed this year. I think, Chair, just in conclusion, look, we think if there are any constitutional issues, they can be cleaned up legally. We can find the right wording, the right balance between the lenders and the banking institutions with a bias towards the highly indebted. Chair, I think if parties are serious about fighting each other, we can do it. But of course, Chair, we're very wary about anybody trying to delay this bill forever in the hope of collapsing the bill. Basically running down the clock until 2019, hoping this bill goes away. So Chair, I think having said that, I would want to conclude there. I've not really gone too much on the bill because, yeah, as you said, I've been here 2 weeks ago. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Right. I think the point that has been made here is that business and unions both made the input here as members of NEDEC as it were. You have, of course, come in your own right as well. And given our several presentations, we do have it in front of us. And there are many of the issues which are recognised in the main thrust of the paper, which you have read before. But I think what we're going to do, members, is that at this stage, we're not going into tea break, we've just walked in. So I think it would be a very good idea if we took this opportunity, and I'm looking at everyone here, Bruce and Cassandra, to engage directly. Would you agree with that? Yeah. Let's look at the members. We've got Sherlock Hamm. Now remember, these are two, Cassandra and Bruce are coming out to speak on the NEDEC Thursday, on the MCA. So we should keep that in mind. So raise your hands and either comment or ask for clarification and question. Honourable Williams, Honourable Gattaglia, Honourable Flambuini, Honourable MacPherson.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to thank both presenters for their presentation. I just want to ask Cassandra, actually, and business as well, they can both answer. Cassandra said that if this did go through NEDLAC, that NEDLAC could speed it up and push it through within 3 months. And I'd just like to know whether business are on board with that as well, because I'm also very concerned that if we put it through into a NEDLAC process, it'll just get slowed down and it'll just get stopped completely, and then we'll go to the elections, and then in 2019 we'll have to restart. So I just want to know, what are the real chances of it going swiftly through NEDLAC, if both business and labour could answer that? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I want to go to Charlie.
Thank you, Chair. On a similar note, I'd like to inquire whether this bill does have to go to NEDLAC. It's a committee bill. It's not a cabinet bill. And there are different processes that happen. Thank you for your presentations. You've provided input now and before, and you will continue to provide input. That's what this process is about. I'm concerned that the bill, by going to NEDLAC, removes Parliament and MPs from the process. I'm concerned, perhaps, that by going to NEDLAC, parliamentarians and MPs are perhaps removed from the process. We need to manage this here. And we welcome all the input, some of which we'll agree with, some of which we'll disagree with. And as this is a committee bill, I think it should be here. If we can do it in that way, I'd be happy. Thank you.
Thank you for the presentation as well. I think first, Chair, mine is basically just comments, not questions, on the urgency on passing the bill. That I fully agree that we need to push to pass the bill. As we know, who do we think to address via this bill? You know, in all of the presentations that we got over this few weeks on the public participation process and all of that, you know, one thing that was missing in all of that presentation was a person that is going to come and say that the people that we're going to seek to get out of this or seek to help out of this bill, in passing this bill, is the black people. Because all of those big banks and corporates that came and cried to us, please don't, you know, this is wrong and that is wrong, and the wording in there and all of that, that is how much the country is going to lose or the credit market is going to lose. None of them, in their presentation, came and said to us, our majority of our clients are black people that is overdebted. And that is why we need to very much pass this bill with urgency. The capacity issues at NCR, of course, Chair, we need to look into it with a close eye going forward and so forth on the capacity issues of the NCR and see how we can strengthen that body as well. It can be of human resource as well, you know. And so we are there to help as Parliament, we are there to advise and so forth. So we need to also strengthen in our submission on the NCR capacity. I think BUSA, for me, their presentation, I think they have missed an opportunity to come and make better proposals or counter proposals. I think their presentation for me was just based on, it was like almost a cry baby type of scenario. I think they should have used this opportunity and this gap to make concrete proposals. And for me, their presentation didn't do much of a, or give much of a way forward as to what needs to happen. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Sanguini. Honourable MacPherson.
Thank you very much. Being this being a committee bill means that each of us as members of this committee are going to be responsible for its successful failure. And I think that when our names are personally to a bill, and there is still a lot of questions to be answered, it is an imperative on us to ensure that we answer those questions, and we don't rush a bill for an expediency sake, and then be found wanting down the road, and then try to point fingers as to how we got into that cul-de-sac. And I want to remind this committee of the IP bill, which was sent back by the Constitutional Court. And in that judgment, it was found that the committee and Parliament had not done its sufficient oversight role. So I just hope that out of our desire to get something done in a time period, that we are not found to be wanting again. Now, I don't think that it's helpful when we hear comments like ignore business opposition or attempt to delay or urgently possible. I don't think that helps, because what it does is it presumes that only one voice is correct and everyone else is wrong. And I think that there are concerns that are being raised on all sides of the argument. And all of those voices must be listened to and must be appreciated. And I think, for Mr. Ehrenreich, I think that he mistaken what this bill actually is. When he says things like the bill responds to unethical credit providers, no, it doesn't, actually. That should be done in the National Credit Act. He says that addresses those that make huge profits and fleeces people, and by that I assume he means reckless lending. This bill does not address, or this amendment bill does not address reckless lending. Reckless lending is in fact illegal and is already stipulated in the National Credit Act. What the National Credit Act doesn't do, or what the National Credit Regulator doesn't do, Mr. Ehrenreich, is actually enforce those provisions. Because if someone is found to be guilty of reckless lending, that debt will be extinguished immediately. It doesn't need a process, or it doesn't need an amendment to do. So I think that your argument is well made, it's just pointed in the wrong direction. And I think that your energy should be rather focused on supporting our call for wholesale reform of the National Credit Act, which deals with people like the loan sharks that Matthew speaks about. Because what this bill fails to do is it fails to deal with unscrupulous lenders. So we have National Treasury that's saying this bill could assist, you know, anything between 1 and 9 million people, but that's only with people that have credit that is registered with a credit provider. You could probably double that with debt that people have with unregistered credit providers, and this bill still doesn't address that very issue. But one of the big problems that I think, or there's two big problems that I think that Bruce have recognized, is the CS. I think that that is an important component that hasn't been touched on up to this point, Chair, and I need some clarity as to whether the department is going to provide that, whether the committee is required to provide that, or who is going to provide that. And then, of course, there's the big issue of constitutional concern, and whether debt can be extinguished retrospectively. I still don't, and I've asked, maybe this is my 20th appeal, for a legal opinion that says whether you can extinguish debt that has been granted retrospectively and granted in terms of current legislation. Not recklessly, because if it was granted recklessly, it can be extinguished under the NCA.
Right.
So I think that that is a major concern, and that is why you cannot ignore very serious concerns from business like that. And the one question I want to ask...
Are you referring at this moment now to Boosters?
Yes, one of the
organizations. You know, this is a committee bill. It's our bill.
Absolutely.
It's our bill.
Yes.
And now, let's never forget that. No.
Yeah.
They come here to comment on it.
And that's
and
why
they say very clearly, if you believe what they said is insufficient or you disagree with, clarify that. Because many of the comments you're making now are valuable, but they are part of the committee deliberation and not the actual engagement.
Well, I think that both organizations are competent to be able to respond to those, and I think that in responding, we are able to understand what their views are on the issues that I've raised. But with respect to Mr. Lawrence, I think that he raises a very interesting point. How, you know, by and large, this speaks to big business. What about small business? How does it affect, you know, small retailers? How does it affect small grocery stores that maybe provide credit? And how does, you know, what is the small business constituency's view on this bill and whether that is being taken into account? And my final point is this, is, you know, Netflix should never be used as a stumbling block to protest, but it should also never be ignored just for political or, sectoral expedience. And I really think that we need to understand both from Kosatu and Boothler why they either believe that NEDLAC is a good opportunity for engagement in this bill, or why it would be a bad provision to do so.
Thank you very much, Honourable MacPherson. We did have somebody else, and that was Honourable Mantashe.
Chairperson, two things for me. A vote on unconstitutionality of some sections of our bill, but they don't put what they think is the correct version of it that would make it constitutional. And I hope that is not, or in fact I must not go there, because I know who they represent. And from conception, the cap of 7,500 was a recent issue. And I am not sure if the 50,000 they are putting in here has been researched. If it has been, can we get that copy of that research? Because we have taken pain in researching how much we should put the cap. Thanks. I want that Honourable Person is now putting questions to the presenter that he is talking to the committee members, and yet he also sits on the subcommittee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Mantashe. I think the booster in the presentation that is submitted here and also spoke to, you made a reference to small business yourself, but you indicate that it would have been preferable to have this bill tabled at NEDLAC, in your opinion. The thing is, the bill is tabled here, in a sense, and then goes on to the whole of business. Members of NEDLAC and those who are not members of NEDLAC on a much broader thing. So we gazetted that bill is open to everyone to have responded to, and one has received some small, some responses or submissions. But I think with respect to the NEDLAC process, NEDLAC serves a different purpose and Parliament another purpose, and let us not forget that. However, your reference to fears, etc., is well taken. You may wish to add to that. You talk about the benefits, etc. I don't think we need to be persuaded about that, but it's good that you raise them yet again. You did make a reference to the competition law, but you didn't really spell it out. You know, you just made a comment like this. Sharing of this information is likely to fall foul of the competition law. If you could just spell that out a little in that respect. But that sorry about that. But rest assured, we're looking at the constitutional issues that have been raised already. KISATU, we've had several engagements with KISATU, SACTU, and the like, and indeed your reference to homes, housing, but student loans. The committee, I understand, I think the Honourable Williams will spell it out more clearly, but we took a specific decision not to deal with that per se as student loans, as they were already being dealt with under another process. But it doesn't mean to say you shouldn't still add why it should be included here, and you may wish to add something more, because in our own view, it has been dealt with in tandem. We have also had requests or proposals to increase the household goods debt. We had already increased it beyond 2,000 from the Magistrates Act, but we also take cognizance of that. But either one of you may start to respond.
Thank you, Chair. It's a funny tradition that we do this alphabetically, I have to say. We in NEDLAC, it's an alphabetical process, so business typically always goes first. We find it a bit scary because it does give Labour the chance to make our lives a little difficult about things we've said earlier. But,
I've never worked on the alphabetical.
But Chair, if I may, or would you prefer that Labour start? Thank you, Chair. Chair, just with respect to the questions, and thank you very much, Chair, for the members' questions. To Honourable Williams, there's plenty of precedent for why we would make a speedier time frame for a process through NEDLAC. A number of NEDLAC task teams have been given quite specific time frames to work with for various reasons, which to my knowledge have not just to do with elections, but to the practicality and the pragmatism of having to implement whatever the bill was addressing. The caveat always is that it is not speed for expediency's sake, and it is for the pragmatism that is approached. So I see no reason why we as business would not support, if need be, a shorter time frame as might be necessary. To Honourable Kacharya, that they have to go to NEDLAC. Chair, through you, we don't know is the actual answer, because typically NEDLAC gets bills from government departments. This is a little bit new to us, and so we are trying to understand and learn something out of this process. We don't know if we're setting precedent or if we're just trying to develop a mutual understanding, but we cannot find anything in the construct of the NEDLAC procedures or the Act that speaks to this. So certainly the short answer, Honourable Kacharya, is we don't know. We're appealing for it for the reasons given, not because we believe we're entitled to it. Chair, to Honourable Tlangweni, the question of what is the profile of those persons who are in fact over indebted, I think I picked up on that. We certainly think a CS would address that. Is that profile different to a national profile statistic? Is it, as you have indicated, is it specifically going to speak to black people? We don't know. I suspect both my labour and both the labour and business constituency would actually be quite interested to see what market profile, whether there are particular regions affected, whether there are particular business sectors affected by that. That's certainly something which we would find very interesting, because it would help us in being able to respond appropriately, more appropriately, we believe. To that. I apologize that we can't provide counter proposals. We certainly at this stage, in the absence of a CS and in the absence of what our typical robust opportunities for conversation are, we actually feel we're unable to do that. We don't properly understand, and it comes as no surprise to you, We don't, in its current form, agree with the bill, but we need to be clear about what exactly we are speaking about. There are too many instances where we get into grey areas. So certainly we may welcome an opportunity for all kinds of proposals, but we need a more solid base of understanding which both the CS and the Reserve Bank research may be able to give us to work with. With respect to the concerns we have in respect sometimes of some of the anecdotal issues that come up, and certainly as many of you, as I indicated earlier, know, I represent the clothing sector, and I know clothing retailers for a number of reasons get given a lot of grief, and I know that even after our presentation, Chair, at this committee, there were some concerns raised about some of the practices which may be emerging in clothing retailers, for example. We actually, again, think it isn't helpful if the concern is raised and there isn't a reaction slash response, which in a NEDLAC process does occur. So it's precisely the kind of area where we can either speak to an issue or resolve an issue or resolve a misunderstanding, or if it is a real issue that needs addressing, is it pertinent to the bill that is under consideration, or should it be tabled as a matter for further consideration? Honourable Montashi, in respect of constitutionality, and I specifically did not want to go there. All of the business sectors here spoke in various ways to specific areas of constitutionality. Even in my own presentation, yeah, I was quite specific at that time, but I'm aware that some of my other business colleagues did have slightly nuanced views on that. Our overall concern as BUSA is it appears to us there are too many flags, whether they should be red, yellow, or green, we don't know, and we believe needs to be appropriately tested. Chair, to your concern, again, I did say in my presentation, we are not looking for NEDLAC to overtake the role and function of Parliament. It never has sought to do that. It does not have a legislative mandate to do that, and it certainly is not what we are asking to do here. This is from none of the constituents, yeah, and Labour can speak to it themselves. My apologies for not being clear about the competition law. I'm not saying this bill contravenes the competition law. My comment, Chair, was in the competition law amendment, we were given the CS. And as complex and as difficult as that conversation is going forward, having the CS has been able to, amongst others, allow us as business to put quite specific counter proposals and responses on the table. It gives us a more informed position to work with and react to, because we now have some form of independent research that all of the parties have acceptance of and we can work with. So Chair, nobody has yet defined why this might or might not be have anything to do with the competition law. We respect the role of the committee, and can we not have any of this presentation reflect as if we are seeking to undermine or diminish the role of the committee or its function, purpose, and or intention in this bill. Our concerns are more on practical implementation, and I hope that we find something which can in fact work. Thank you, Chair.
Very much. You'll be reassured to know we've always said we're going to seek constitutional advice from an expert, a senior counsel on the matter. Right, Kasatu, Tony, or Matthew?
Thanks, Chair. Thanks to the members for the questions. I think the Honourable Williams, I think you have largely touched on it. The NEDLAC protocol only provides for a 3-month engagement. At times, the issue is very complex, like the minimum wage. Pressures on, but normally 3 months, and when there's a pressure of time, for whatever reason, government programs, or in this case, because the end of the coming administration, we can fast track it, and I think as Labour would be very keen to fast track it. It might mean that, for example, as NEDLAC, we would commit ourselves to weekly meetings to get the train moving faster. I think, Chair, also we are very keen not to allow this bill to die because of the 2019 election, because, you know, some members might not be coming back. Maybe the EFF will become the ruling party or whatever happens. But So we're very keen also now, such a wonderful bill chair to die because of the calendar. And not just this bill, but other bills in Parliament we're keen to see come to life. I think, Chair, look, in terms of this being a portfolio committee, the Honourable Kacharya raised, this is new territory, not just for Parliament, but also for NEDLAC. We had a similar debate about a year or 2 years ago around a prime member's bill, which we engaged with the NEDLAC and it passed in the National Assembly last year, providing for paternity and parental leave and so on. So it's a bit of new territory because the NEDLAC Act says the department must bring the bill, if it's a labour legislation or if it's a social economic bill, to NEDLAC first, before Parliament. So it's a new territory, but I think the spirit of it is that labour and social economic bills would go there first, then to Parliament. So in this case, the honourable members, you would be government, and you would be the one presenting the bill, and so on. So it's a bit of a new territory for everybody's chair, so I think we can manage it. I think, Chair, to the honourable Slangwini, we agree 200%. It's about helping the poor who need the help now. And again, without being bureaucratic, the 2019 election presents a real challenge because if you miss it, then you might be talking about 2020 or 2021. That's the issue. So we think we can get the right balance between the time frames and due process. I think to Honourable MacPherson, again, we're on the same page. We've seen two progressive acts in return to Parliament in this term, the expropriation and the Restitution of Land Rights Act, because time processes were cut corners, so to speak. And then we then see those bills almost dying quite dead in Parliament because members then become too reluctant to touch it, etc. We would be keen to hear from Honourable MacPherson later about his proposal around how to deal with loan shock. That's something we were very keen on. I think just to get into the end, to the Honourable Natasha. Look, we were happy with the 7,500 figure. We said the committee already made compromises around it from 10,000. We thought it did help try to target the poorest of the poor. The 50,000 cap for loans, again, that was a committee proposal, which we were not violently opposed to. We just flagged the issue of student debt, Chair, because a typical year at university often is 50,000 a year. Yeah. And if you include residence and food for students in the rural areas, it can be 100,000. We know there is progress by government around the free education for persons from families earning less than 350 a year, but that excludes what you call the missing middle to a significant extent. So one person's parent is a police officer, another one is a teacher, they would be excluded in effect. And to afford fees of 100,000 a year might be about 40% of that family's household income after tax and deduction. So that's why we're slightly chair. And of course, Chair, the previous thing, we had slight issues around not limiting the protected household property of beds, maybe just expanding it to your fridges, your ovens, your essential appliances. I think lastly, Chair, look, we think that business, we listened to business, the different presentations, they talked about helping the poor, they did this on a voluntary basis already, which is very good. If that commitment is sincere, Chair, we think we can function from the actual wording, which can protect the issues of the Constitution, but also protect the poorest of the poor. We don't think we should need to collapse the bill because of English. We can find each other, Chair, and if it helps us to help the poorest of the poor, that would be for us the victory. The Chair, hopefully, yeah, answer this. I don't know if Tony wants to add to all.
Thank you, Chair. I could just say along with that to clarify the point that there's no intention to exclude the MPs at all, but it's just finding the most elegant way to manage the process and to make sure that we don't have the challenges that would delay the thing, which is something we all want to avoid. So we're open to look at options for that, and we look forward to your comments. Thanks.
Thank you very much so far. Just one moment,
then
they need to complete. Yes, Mr.
Flock. Chair, just a reminder, Simon Eppel, my colleague Eken Flock isn't here, so my name was given wrong.
Chair, I think I'm not going to speak to each of the inputs by each of the honourable members individually, but I think there's a sort of essentially two themes coming out of at least 95% of them, and that's concerns around if this process moves to NEDLAC, whether the intent of the bill will be honoured, or whether NEDLAC will, you know, quote unquote, sort of break the intent of the bill or fundamentally alter it in any shape or form. And the other one is whether or not
if it goes to NEDLAC, there are issues around timing. So either the honouring of the intent and the timing. I mean, I think my comrades have spoken to the issue of timing, the ability to narrow down time at NEDLAC. Around the honouring of the intent, I mean, that really seems to be the major theme from most of the members of the portfolio committee. Obviously, it's a very big concern given the fact that a lot of energy has been invested in this, and this is a very big issue. I think, Honourable Chair, if you've heard the presentation from Labour, you've heard at least our dedication and our support for both the intent and the form of this bill. Interestingly, what you've seen from business, and I'm not sure whether or not the minutes are being taken accurately, but somewhere there was a statement that Michael made about satisfying the overall intent of the bill. So you know, it seems to be that they're signaling to us that actually they wouldn't water this down. Now, whether it means that there might be some obstacles that they throw into the process during their NEDLAC, that may be the case, but it's useful for the members of the committee to also know that we don't have to agree at NEDLAC, right? So if it goes to NEDLAC, the social partners don't have to agree. They don't have to water anything down. If Labour believes that businesses' proposals are fundamentally altering the shape and form of the bill in a way that makes that shatters the spirit and the outcome, well, we can disagree, at which case the NEDLAC report is written, it comes back, and those inputs are made and those constituencies' opinions are reported.
No, thank you. I'm looking around both of you, Mr. Lawrence, as well as and yourself, Mr. Ed Paul-Wright. I think because we have engaged with both the respective organisations, with other, other areas, as it were, on this bill, the engagement may well be shorter, but the committee members would still like a further engagement, starting from yourself, Honourable Williams, Honourable McPherson, Slanguini, Honourable Mantas.
Thank you very much. I just...
You changed your name? William.
No,
it's all right. I mean, you like me this morning,
aren't they? Thank you, Chair. I just want to say, I think it's important that this committee understands that even if it does go to NEDLAC, NEDLAC can come with a report and with recommendations, and as this committee, we can reject the entire report and all of their recommendations. We're not obliged to listen to what NEDLAC reports to us, because NEDLAC are not elected to come and make laws. We are elected to make laws. But it is useful. What I want to know is, does the NEDLAC partners think that this legislation should go to NEDLAC? Because we've already heard that you're not sure if it must go to NEDLAC. I just want to know, does Kasatu think that we should put this through the NEDLAC process? Do business think that we should put this through the NEDLAC process? I just want your opinion on that. And just to answer the question around student loans, we said we weren't going to write off student loans, because if we wrote off bank student loans, in other words, then students that went to the banks and got loans, what do we do about government student loans? We can't write those off, because what will happen is then that money disappears and no other students can get access to that loan. And that's the reason we can't treat students who have got loans from the banks differently from students who have loans from the government. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Williams. Honourable McPherson.
Thank you very much. Well, you know, maybe in the spirit of the new dawn, you know, we need to embrace NEDLAC. So that might answer the Honourable Williams' question. And I just want to find out, my question with regard to who is responsible in this context of a committee bill of providing a CA. Is it the DPI? Is it the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation? Is the committee responsible for sourcing it itself? I think that's an important question. I don't think that my question previously was whether Kasatu and Bruce, whether they believe it should go to NEDLAC, was answered. So I'm grateful that Honourable Williams asked that question again.
Honourable Slanguini.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think, Chair, just to allay the fears of my colleague here, the great state, under your leadership, I think we are doing fairly good on this committee, and I pride myself and proudly so would stamp my name on it. I sit in other committees, and some things that we do there just went under the carpet. And I can assure you, in this couple of months that I've worked with you, that is not your kind of leadership style. Secondly, Chair, on the point that the gentleman from Musa raised, I think he misunderstood a bit what I was saying. I made the point in that everyone that came and do their proposals, they failed to enlighten us to say the majority of people that is overdebted are black. Of course, it doesn't say that the whites that are overdebted, we're not going to address them, the colored, the Indians, or so forth. But what they failed to address, they break it down, and this is in retail, they had this much, they own that much in clothing, and you know, outdoors, utensils, they do that perfect breakdown. But what they don't address is to say that majority of the people here that is overdebted is black. At that point, we shouldn't underplay it, Chair, that our people, black people, are overdebted, and this bill is needed. And I'm sure, with the good advocates that we have worked with there, and with the advice that we're going to get from senior counsel, we are going to iron out those grey areas as a committee. So I think we shouldn't footsie-footsie now again with this bill and just continue on the pace. So before Parliament closes, that we know we have closed down on this bill and have our names on it proudly. So thank you so very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Sangwini. Honourable Mantosh.
Chairperson, I'm pretty covered by my colleagues that spoke before me, but I just want to remove the myth that we're not doing this bill because we're lacking elections. We would do it even if there were no elections in 2019. The fact of the matter is the poor people need us to rescue them from this pool of indebtedness. So no one must come here in Benson and say we're doing it for elections. We're not. We're doing our work that we elected to do in this parliament. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Mantosh. Honourable Kacharia.
Thank you. Again, I just want to reflect on the importance of the primacy of this committee, because certainly, you know, we have the guillotine of time on the one hand, and we have to balance that against any indecent haste that might result in unintended or consequences in terms of a substandard product. But that should rest with this committee. Likewise, it is my understanding, I think having reflected on it, that this bill does not have to go to NEDLAC. We welcome NEDLAC's constituencies, inputs, which we've had, and we will welcome more at any stage. And I think, you know, the NEDLAC agreement was essentially written for a post-1994 social construct, which needs to be addressed in the fullness of time and tinkered with. That's a different story. But to echo my colleague, Honourable McPherson, we'd like to know exactly who, the status of who commissioned the CS, and this committee then needs to decide what it will do with that, whether that is for our eyes, or whether we will say constituencies need to conduct their own assessments in order to make their inputs, or whether we will share it. But that is a committee thing which comes back to the primacy of this committee.
much, Honourable Pichalia. I am asking Advocate Vandermeerma just to comment on both the fears as well as possibly neglect.
Thank you, Chairperson. First off, exactly as was explained to the committee, it is a new process for neglect to deal with. From the drafting unit side, we have actually contacted NEDLAC to confirm how these things work. And it became clear to us that there isn't enough clarity on the process. So we will advise that NEDLAC needs to be brought into play. The Act says the Council shall consider all proposed labour legislation, consider all significant changes to social and economic policy, and that is what the Act says. There's no process prescribed. And when we spoke with the officials at NEDLAC, they pointed out that that is a problem. There is no specific process. The member that was referred to was also, we advised the member to go to NEDLAC. The problem is, versus a member bill versus a committee bill, is that it's one person versus a committee. So it's easy for one person to fly up, sit with NEDLAC, propose everything. For the committee, the decision will have to be taken, who will go? Will everyone go? How will this work? What will be the input? How, you know, there's a lot of logistical issues that I think will have to be sorted out. For the purposes of legislative process, this committee has complied with the Act. There was a specific written request or written letter sent to NEDLAC to bring the bill to their attention. They have now come to this committee to say these are our considerations. If there's a request where there's further information required, that can come, and then the committee can consider that. In respect of the socio-economic impact assessment, this committee has already, in close cooperation with National Treasury, has some work done on impact. The committee already has had presentations done, so it's not that this committee is ignoring impact at all. The requirement of a socio-economic impact assessment is a cabinet decision. So it's something that a committee bill and a private member's bill are not subjected to. Whether that is good or bad is a different argument altogether. There's a reason for the socio-economic impact assessment process, a very good reason for that. But then, the National Assembly rule requires that a committee, whether it's a private member bill or a committee bill, need to consult the department, because the department will have to implement that bill. And if they cannot implement that bill, whether if the impact of that bill is going to be such that, for instance, in this instance, an economically driven bill, if this bill would have the result of impoverishing the whole economy of South Africa, that needs to come out. But it is for the department to bring those objections and to say to the committee, these are concerns. Have you considered these? Now, from the DTI side, their SAAS unit, a representative from their SAAS unit, has actually been here. I'm not sure that she's been here every meeting, but I think I saw her this morning. So DTI is fully aware that there is these impacts, and DTI will advise this committee. In fact, I know that DTI has offered to do a specific socio-economic impact assessment on this bill. So all of those matters, it's not required, but this committee has looked at impact. It has definitely done its legislative duty in that regard, and it is continuing to do so.
Thank you very much, Advocate. I hope that addresses some of the questions that have been raised or confirmed. There is a matter I would like to address. It's not a matter that hasn't come before this committee again. Did we just bring this on the committee, and we are on the car train to the House to have it adopted?
No.
2014, perhaps that is rushing things. You know, when you get back and you decide to take something, is that a rush? I think it's up to you to decide if you consider that a rush or not. Especially as the issue had been in the annual report to the committee to say, this is an issue that must be addressed, and that was the previous term. So I think that members ought to be very clear what they mean by saying we are rushing this through, railroading it through, using all kinds of language which is not necessarily being used today in the committee. I want it very, very clear. This issue has been around for more than 8 years. It was adopted fully in the committee as a committee bill, an issue that this committee would take up. Not last year, the year before. That being the case, elections happen every 5 years. If it so happens that as we're concluding this bill, the election's around the corner, you may request the president to delay the election. But really, I think we're going pursuing the wrong street here. So what I suggest is we get on with our work. Our work has been this, the copyright, the performance, and I said when we came back in 2014, gambling and liquor, and I understand liquor is going to be on the table. So this gives me the opportunity to request the committee, understand we have a huge volume of work on the table, and we will be working Thursday nights, as has happened in previous terms. We've also been offered Saturday mornings, as has been used in previous terms. So, you can let me know if you prefer Saturday morning, Saturday, or Thursday night, Tuesday night. So I want this very, very clear. I also want it clear that when legislation is on the table, it takes precedence over any oversight trip. I want that very clear. And I know every party here takes legislation seriously and would not dream of requesting their members go in another direction. So I'm asking you, as committed members of the committee, and you are committed, I know how hard you work, to just hang in there. You'll soon be getting sleep at Easter, and you know, July comes up, and so on. All right. Now, for those who had the good fortune to share with us their thoughts, I certainly would like to reassure Busa and the business community. And yes, I've been in business. I worked as a consultant once for HL&H. So I know business. Now, having been there, I do know how business thinks. I also know how unions think. I also have a limited idea how a villager thinks. That is my greatest drawback. So what I've endeavoured to do as chair is to try and ensure we don't overlook the voice of villagers, the rural community. That's a very important voice. I am in weekly contact with the urban poor, because as some of you may know, there are 6 informal settlements in the middle of Johannesburg, the CBD. The CBD. And I do understand their hardships, and they are very real hardships there, very real ones. So, as the President put it, and as I think Honourable MacPherson, even when you were campaigning, you were, you know, putting forward the president's name as someone you respected, that he has made it clear to all of us that we are all South Africans, and the time has come to set aside parochial differences when critical issues such as the socio-economic issues come up, and to actually work together. We've done it before, and we can do it again. So I do believe business wants to work, but I also understand that there are challenges, and I think someone referred to them as the grey areas here on Mali, the members. Yes, there are. And that is why you are here, to say, look, in principle, we agree with the intent here, but the purpose, but we have problems or challenges here. Our members do, our constituency. And if you share that with us, the subcommittee, there are, Honourable Williams is chairing that, Honourable McPherson, you sit there, am I correct? You sit there, Honourable Slangwini, and who sits there as well? Honourable Mantash, but I'm looking at right at the back here. Yeah, yes, Bouyard. Honourable Bouyard, yes, never forget. You know, you've got a soft voice there, but you need to make your presence felt. Now, they are members of the subcommittee who do a lot of the detailed work. And you can see they come from different parties. So I believe you need have no fear that Busa in particular, that your voice is not there, or that the workers, your voice is not there. It is. And when it comes to other issues, I am very pleased to see the DG here. Thank you very much, because we could no longer go on as we were. And I know that you are incredibly busy, so thank you for carving out the time to be with us here this morning. Thank you. Thank you to Treasury. I did see you somewhere in the background, Treasury, but did you sign the register? You did you? Right. And all of the others, thank you so much, NCR, NCT. Thank you for being here with us this morning. And then I'm asked, visitors up there. Oh, yes, of course, it says Ben and Busi Ministry. Now, I know this can't be Busa. It says Ben and Busi. You're on a tour, I understand, are you? Is it from overseas? Or from South Africa or Cape Town? There we are, Eastern Cape, another one of our provinces. Well, we've just been hearing from Busa, it's Business Unity, is it, South Africa, and COSATU, all right, and the BTI. And these are members of trade and industry. And we are hearing submissions on what we colloquially refer to as debt relief, but it's actually the National Credit Amendment Act. All right? We've come to the end of this meeting, and it is not my intention to drag it out, but to alert to you the changes in the program. So I've asked for it to be handed out, including the oversight. All right. Just while they're getting their hands and fists on this, you know. Yes, you go ahead, Mr. Lawrence. Have you, Tony?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we still have a bit of a concern that if we heard that by some of the legal officer in the meeting, in respect of NEDLAC, we're not questioning the primacy of the committee, there's no issue around that. Our only concern is if there's a challenge to the bill, because it was in compliance with the procedure. So what we'd like to ask your indulgence is that as much as we've tabled what we have today, that we have the opportunity at our next trade and industry chamber meeting, where all of the parties are represented, to summarize what the engagement has been and to get the minutes from this meeting so that it can reflect the record that would be read into NEDLAC. And so that gives us some additional comfort in terms of the legal counters that we may have if that's acceptable to you.
A very wise suggestion, although we did officially invite them here, as you know. But yes, yourself then,
Thank you, Chair. Can we just support that position of Labour and say it just gives It simply will give the chamber itself and NEDLAC the opportunity as best possible to close the loop with the uncertainties that have been defined. If we feel the uncertainties cannot be resolved, we will reflect a report back to the chamber on that matter, as you kindly allow us to. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Are we all on the same page there? Because I'd like me to thank Busa and Kasatu and everyone else for being here with us, and say to the members that it's the 20th there, February the 20th, is it? And Wednesday tomorrow is the subcommittee meeting, is that correct? And we're not meeting on Thursday, obviously, as it's Friday. Is that all understood? Right. And then we are... I am reminded that my executive secretary she's not a member of the Labour community in that sense of Kasatu, but could be expected to go into Labour. she is expecting a baby, and you know what babies do, they arrive in your time. Now, what I think would be a good idea, if anyone would like to contribute, they may do so next week at the meeting, all right? It's not a compulsory issue. Thank you.
I can see your other announcement. I want to congratulate you on your speech yesterday. You have represented us very well on the localization, so we say thank you, and we are proud of you.
Well, that's a rare compliment from the committee at having two in one morning. Thank you. No, thank you very much. I know you've often complimented being Honourable Macpherson in private. Yes.
Yeah, with voice in private. I just want to find out, you mentioned something about oversight, but there's nothing on the program here. The sugar oversight.
Yes, thank you. And I did discuss the other matter with you, just I'll not meet directly this morning, but Mr. Herman was all right. And apart from that, you know, we have been unable, with all the work, DG, to even get our committee to go in outside the country, and also the state of the fiscus is somewhat constrained. I do not see the fiscus really being less constrained with expenditure in Parliament. But we would have liked to have done an overseas visit that would add value. So we are always open to suggestions. Is that all right, members? I've tried to include you all on that note.
If I can make a suggestion, apparently there's a group of people hiding out in the suit. So maybe we could go there on an oversight and help bring them back.
Well, we're not in that committee, and I think it's important that we stick to our mandates, right? Yes. So on that note, please may I adjourn the committee till next week on Tuesday. All right? Tuesday at 9 o'clock.